not a destination. A professional teacher will still be learning to do it better the day she or he retires. Ineffective teachers talk more about the gimmicks and games they are trying to find to keep the kids quiet. Effective teachers talk more about the research they constantly look for to improve the achievement of their students. Always remember, student achievement and success are why teachers teach. Our research successes are to be shared for the sake of the students. Research improves student achievement. Theme parks know when and where to send more food vendors. Airlines know how much to price each flight. Stores know your buying patterns. They use what is known as business intelligence, or BI in industry terms. There is software that harvests data, trends, and information to help businesses make decisions. Schools do the same. They harvest student data to improve student achievement. Led by Superintendent Joe Kitchens, the Western Heights School District in Oklahoma has seen math and reading scores increase up to 48% over a four-year period. Using software systems that mine student information, teachers have almost immediate access to their students' scores at any given time. Data drives teaching, learning, and continuous improvement in this diverse district, where 75% of the students qualify for free or reduced-price meals. The research data allows teams of teachers to review and determine how best to prepare lessons for students who need differentiated instruction. Teachers know exactly where the child needs help or has potential to excel. The lesson planning program software and benchmarking process both allow sharing among teachers. The staff uses data to improve student achievement. Western Heights has taken the Oklahoma standards and aligned them with its own benchmarked tests, which the teachers and administrators created at higher levels than the state tests. Using research data, they have broken down skills sets for each child by subject and level. The faculty shares this data to improve teaching and learning. This sharing of research data is their formula for student achievement. That's success. Western Heights School District's keys to success. Grade-level teams developed scope and sequence, objectives, and benchmark tests that exceed the Oklahoma standards for grade-level subjects. Benchmark tests are given at the end of each 9-week period. Teachers consistently and annually review results of what's been taught and tested. Teachers have immediate access to each student's performance on each standard. Teachers have the technology to share lesson plans and tests to improve teaching and learning. Here's an aha. Do you realize that if you come to Western Heights as a new teacher, you get the immediate impression that they know what they are doing and you can be part of it and succeed? The four beliefs of an effective teacher. 1. It is the teacher who makes the difference in the classroom. 2. By far the most important factor in school learning is the ability of the teacher. 3. There is an extensive body of research and knowledge about teaching that must be known by the teacher. 4. The teacher must be a decision maker, able to translate the research and body of knowledge about teaching into increased student learning. After Madeline Hunter. Educational research that applies to every teacher. John P. Rickards discovered two things. 1. The most ineffective place to print questions is at the end of a textbook chapter. 2. It is ineffective to give a student all the questions for an assignment at one time and then ask the student to answer all the questions and to turn them in all at one time. Rickards found that if you want a student to achieve high-level comprehension, you should intersperse the questions throughout the text or the assignment. You do this to constantly assess the learning success of the students. Chapters 22 and 23 discuss this in greater detail. You know that this is true from having taken reading comprehension tests. Reading comprehension tests are not written with pages of text followed by a long list of questions. They constantly go back and forth, a paragraph or two of learning text followed by a few questions. Put another way, no doctor asks questions when the patient is dead. A doctor intersperses questions during the treatment of a patient, constantly assessing the health of the patient. Likewise, the effective teacher does not ask all the questions at the end of the discussion, class period, video, chapter, lecture, or meeting. The effective teacher who wants high-level comprehension intersperses questions throughout all class activities. This is what the research tells us. When should you ask questions during a video? Educational research tells you, and Bob Wallace, a middle school teacher in New Jersey, shows you. He reported the following as a result of his research with his students. He divided his students into three groups and did the following. Group 1 showed the students a video and gave them a test. Group 2 briefed the group on the video to be shown and then showed the same video shown to group 1 and gave the same test. Group 3 briefed group 3 exactly as he had group 2 and then showed the same video. However, during the video, he made frequent stops. During each stop, he asked questions and held class discussion. He then gave the same test he had given to groups 1 and 2. Guess which of the three groups scored the highest on the test. Group 3, of course. Go B. She stopped the video frequently. Stacy Allred taught a video-guided workshop on The Effective Teacher. She used AHA pages to reflect on the video. See her work in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 5 at effectiveteaching.com. Research on improving student achievement. Aligned time on task. Students who are actively focused on educational goals do best in mastering the subject matter. Research findings. More than 130 studies support the obvious. The more students study, the more they learn. Time alone, however, does not suffice. The lesson objectives, learning activities, and tests must be matched and emphasized. To see how this is implemented, refer to chapters 22 and 23. Learning community. People in small research groups can support and increase one another's learning. Research findings. Academic achievement is greater when there is frequent exchange among teachers and students. In addition, teachers and students learn teamwork skills that are essential in the workplace. To see how learning teams are implemented, consult Chapter 24. Extensive reading. Extensive reading of material of many kinds, both in school and outside, result in substantial growth in the vocabulary, comprehension abilities, and information base of students. Research findings. Cognitive abilities such as comprehension and vocabulary are enhanced with increased time spent reading, inside and outside of school. Studies show, however, that children spend no more than a few minutes a day on either assigned or independent reading. School resources need to be provided for materials and large blocks of time allocated for students to read. Wait time. Pausing after asking a question in the classroom results in an increase in achievement. Research findings. Students are usually given less than 1 second to respond to a question. Increasing wait time from 3 to 7 seconds, accompanied by a high-order question, results in students responding with more thoughtful answers and an increase in achievement. Improving achievement is no great mystery, nor is it an impossible task. The major principles of effective teaching are in the Handbook of Research on Improving Student Achievement. The research for the handbook was sponsored by 29 leading education organizations serving 3 million members. So if improving achievement is no great mystery, why can't we do it? You'll learn how to apply this research in Units C and D. Based on Gordon Kowalty, Editor, Handbook of Research on Improving Student Achievement, 2004, Arlington, Virginia, Educational Research Service. Research cannot and does not identify the right or best way to teach, nor does it suggest that certain instructional practices should always or never be used. But research can illuminate which instructional practices are most likely to achieve desired results, with which kinds of learners, and under what conditions. Miriam Mett. The effective teacher, 1, understands the research process, 2, uses proven research-based teaching practices, 3, uses research data to improve teaching and learning. Unit B. First characteristic. Positive expectations. The effective teacher has positive expectations for student success. 6. Why positive expectations are important. The key idea. Your expectations of your students will greatly influence their achievement in your class and in their lives. Successful people have both the attitude and the determination to succeed. Humans have a success instinct. There is absolutely no research correlation between success and family background, race, national origin, financial status, or even educational accomplishments. There is but one correlation with success, and that is attitude. All living things live to survive. They spend their entire day instinctively seeking food and shelter and escaping predators. Humans have a success instinct. This is what makes humans different from all other living things. They want success, and they strive for their success potential. You can accomplish anything with students if you set high expectations for behavior and performance by which you yourself abide. The two kinds of expectations, positive or high expectations, negative or low expectations. Positive and negative expectations. Knowing what you can or cannot achieve is called expectation. An expectation is what you believe will or will not happen. Positive expectations. An optimistic belief that whoever you teach or whatever you do will result in success or achievement. If you expect to be successful, you are constantly alert and aware of opportunities to help you be successful. Examples of positive expectations. What we achieve comes from how we work together. I believe that every child can learn and will achieve to his or her fullest potential. I am a good teacher, and I am proud that I am a professional educator. I am always learning, and that is why I enjoy going to conferences, workshops, and professional development meetings. Results of positive expectations. The odds are that what you want to happen will happen if you expend energy to make it happen. Therefore, predispose yourself to realize success personally and among the people you deal with, such as your students. Negative expectations. A pessimistic belief that whoever you teach or whatever you do will not work out or will fail. Why bother to do anything or teach anyone at all? If you expect to fail, you are constantly looking for justification and proof of why you have failed. Examples of negative expectations. You don't understand the culture where I teach. These kids just don't want to learn. They can't read, they can't spell, they can't sit still, they can't behave. Professional development meetings are boring. Conferences have nothing to offer me. Results of negative expectations. The odds are that what you expect not to happen won't happen if you expend energy to ensure that it doesn't happen. Therefore, do not predispose yourself to realize failure personally and among the people you deal with, such as your students. Each child is living the only life he has, the only one he will ever have. The least we can do is not diminish it. Bill Page. Go Be. She was the turning point in my life. Teaching is a journey of the heart. Read how a teacher turned a student's life around with positive expectations in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 6 at EffectiveTeaching.com. Flowing Wells High School Keys to Success. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you are right. Henry Ford. All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Walt Disney. No legacy is so rich as honesty. William Shakespeare. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end. Abraham Lincoln. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Albert Einstein. Success is the maximum utilization of the ability that you have. Zig Ziglar. The most successful schools have expectations that everyone will succeed. The greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude of mind. William James. It takes just as much energy to achieve positive results as it does to achieve negative results. So why waste your energy on failing when that same energy can help you and your students succeed? Expectations of parents. Negative or low expectations. I'll be happy if my children do not become involved with drugs. Positive or high expectations. I want each of my children to graduate in the top 10 of their class. Expectations of students. Negative or low expectations. This class is boring. Why do we have to study this junk? Positive or high expectations. My dream and intention is to become a teacher. Expectations of teachers. Negative or low expectations. Professional meetings are so boring. Why do we have to listen to this garbage? Positive or high expectations. I learn so much and meet so many interesting people at conferences. Expectations are different from standards. Expectations should not be confused with standards. Standards are levels of achievement. Teachers who practice positive expectations will help their students reach high standards. Example, this will be an exciting class, and you are going to have the most memorable year you have ever had. As a result, you will do very well. Teachers who practice negative expectations will prevent students from reaching high standards. Example, no one in this class will earn an A. I will make the work too hard for you to do. People are molded more by the depth of their convictions or expectations than by the height of their intelligence. Success involves converting people not to your way of knowing, but to your way of feeling. People can refuse words, but they cannot refuse an attitude or an expectation. Expectations. Give your students more than they expect, and you will get back more than you ever expected. Student success is limited only by adult expectations. The classic research on expectations. The classic research on expectations was done in the 1960s by Robert Rosenthal of Harvard University and Lenore Jacobson of the South San Francisco schools. They fed erroneous information to a group of South San Francisco elementary school teachers and watched the teachers make the results come true. In the spring of the preceding school year, the students at Oak School were pre-tested. When school began that fall, the researchers and the administrators told the teachers they were special teachers who were to be part of a special experiment. They were told, "Based on a pretest, we have identified 20% of your students who are special. They will be spurters or bloomers and are a designated group of students of whom greater intellectual growth is expected." The names were really selected at random, but the teachers were led to believe that the status of being special children was based on scores on the pretest, the Harvard Test of Inflected Acquisition, a fictitious test. "As a special reward for your teaching excellence," they were told, "we are going to give you this information, but on two conditions. One, you must not tell the students that you know that they are special. Two, you must not tell the parents that their children are special. Thus, we expect and know that you will do extremely well with these special students." 8 months later, all the students were tested again, and a comparison was made of the designated special students and the undesignated students as measured by IQ scores. The results showed a significant gain in intellectual growth for the 20% who were designated special in the primary grades, but no significant gains to the undesignated students. The administrators brought the teachers in, showed them the growth results of their students, and congratulated them on their spectacular success with their students. The teachers said, "Of course, we had special students to work with. It was easy, and they learned so fast." The administrators and researchers said, "We'd like to tell you the truth. The so-called special children were picked at random. We made no selections based on IQ or aptitude." "Then it must have been us," said the teachers, "because you said we were special teachers selected to be part of a special experiment." "We need to tell you something else, too," replied the researcher. "All the teachers were involved in this experiment. None of you were designated special over any other teacher." This was a perfectly designed experiment. There was only one experimental variable, expectations. One, the expectations of the administrators toward the teachers were stated explicitly. "You are special teachers, and these 20% of your students are special students who show potential for intellectual growth. Thus, we expect and know that you will do extremely well with these special students." Two, the expectations of the teachers toward the students were conveyed implicitly and were unspoken. Because the teachers believed they had some very special students in the school, their body language, personalities, and attitudes influenced their teaching and expectations of their students. As the researchers stated, "The results suggest rather strongly that children who are expected by their teachers to gain intellectually, in fact, do show greater intellectual gains after 1 year than do children of whom such gains are not expected." Following the original study, many additional studies have been undertaken. Some have been able to replicate the findings, while others have not. Regardless, educators and parents are very keen in the power of expectations to affect student outcomes. Students tend to learn as little or as much as their teachers expect. Teachers who set and communicate high expectations to all their students obtain greater academic performance from these students than teachers who set low expectations. Teachers get what they expect. Teacher expectations and student achievement research has been known for more than 50 years. It states that teacher expectations play a significant role in determining how well and how much students learn. Some teachers unknowingly could be stifling the learning of students who are not achieving. We know about the inconsistent expectations teachers have for high, average, and low-achieving students. For instance, on latency or wait time, teachers often give high-achieving students more time to respond or perform than the time given to low-achieving students. Now take this sentence. Teachers often give high-achieving students more blank than low-achieving students. And complete the sentence by inserting the following teacher expectations. Opportunity, individual help, rephrasing, affirmation, praise, feelings, proximity, questions, desisting. Information on a teacher expectation and student achievement, or TESA program, can be found at http://streamer.lacoe.edu/TESA/. TESA has isolated 15 teacher-student interactions and constructed a course on how best to bring out the fullest potential of those students waiting to be fulfilled. The program is based on expectation theory, which conveys that teachers make inferences about students that can have a damaging effect on certain students. This self-fulfilling prophecy suggests that what you expect from a student is what the student gives back to you. Development. From conception to age 4, the individual develops 50% of his mature intelligence. From ages 4 to 8, he develops another 30%, and from ages 8 to 17, the remaining 20%. Research indicates that a child's first 4 years are the most important growing period for academic achievement. And all subsequent learning in school is affected, and in large part determined, by what a child has learned by the age of 9, or at least by the end of grade 3. When school and home environments are mutually reinforcing, learning is likely to be greatest. The nature of the learning environment is most critical during the periods of most rapid change in learning, the early years of school. Children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes an impression. Chaim Gnat. The two most important groups of people for young people. A tribute to my parents. Before I was 5 years old, my parents said something to me over and over again. They even got my relatives to say it to me, as well as my neighbors and the local merchants. Several times a day I would hear, "Little Harry Wong, when you grow up, what kind of a doctor are you going to be?" This was accompanied by their pointing out to me, as positive role models, that my uncles were all doctors and that my cousins were studying to be doctors. They told me that it was a foregone conclusion that I would be admitted to medical school, even though the competition was tough in those days. What they wanted to know was what I planned to specialize in. Not being in kindergarten yet, I said, "I don't know." And then came their reply, "You're going to be a brain surgeon, aren't you?" In other words, they believed that I had the intelligence to be the ultimate of all doctors, so brilliant that I could even operate on other people's brains. My parents conveyed a message of high or positive expectations to me. For this, I will be forever grateful to them, and I send them my love. Harry K. Wong. A tribute to my teachers. The other reason I achieved success in school and life was my teachers. In elementary school, I remember distinctly that my teachers had a saying that they would repeat often, year after year. This saying became a driving force or expectation in my life. They would say, "You can be anything you want to be. You can even be President of the United States." The message of expectation I received was that I could be a world leader or a leader in whatever field I chose. Young people get very little urging to become leaders or heroes. Rather, they receive messages from the media and from friends that it's not cool to succeed in school. Luckily, I was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, where crowded conditions and poverty did not matter. I had a family, good schools, and a culture. A favorite put-down when I was growing up was rice bucket, which was applied to someone who was so lazy and useless that all he did was sit around all day and eat until he looked like a bucket of rice. We were expected to make more of ourselves than that. We were all expected to work hard and do well in school. And this expectation was reinforced by wonderful teachers who embraced a culture that assured us success would result from hard work. My teachers conveyed to me a message of highly positive expectations, a powerful message that told me I was smart and good enough to be anything I wanted to be, even to hold the highest office in the nation. I thank my teachers for having that expectation of me. Harry K. Wong. Things my parents and teachers never said to me. You are dumb. You are stupid. You are no good. You will never amount to anything. You don't belong in this class. You were placed here against my wishes. Look at it this way. Summer vacation is only 10 months away. My teacher thought I was smarter than I was. So I was. 6-year-old. What parents and teachers convey to young people in their formative years as expectations will influence young people to achieve accordingly. Your expectations of your students will greatly influence their achievement in your class, in their lives, and ultimately in the world. The effective teacher, 1, has a statement of positive expectations ready for the first day of school. 2, creates a classroom climate that communicates positive expectations. 3, conveys positive expectations to all students. 4, has a personal attitude of high expectations. 7. How to help all students succeed. The key idea. The more the school and the family are joined as partners in educating young people, the greater the children's chances for success. Celebrate the first day of school. The most important day of a person's education is the first day of school, not graduation day. If school does not begin with the proper positive expectations, there may not be a graduation day. The class of 2009 failed to graduate 1.3 million students, or one student dropping out of school every 27 seconds. For some students, graduation is not a day to celebrate a joyful sense of accomplishment. Rather, it is a day to mock respect, act stupid, make fun of the educational system, show disrespect to parents and teachers, and engage in wild parties that make you wonder if any educating ever took place. The proper day to celebrate in all the schools of a country is the first day of school. Celebrating the first day of school must become a tradition of all educational systems. This day of celebration must include everyone associated with and interested in the education of the future citizens of the world. In addition to everyone at the school site, the celebration should include parents, the business community, and the neighborhood. It is important that students see that everyone is interested in helping them all succeed. This announcement appears each year in the local Williston, South Carolina newspaper. first day of school celebration for all Williston School District 29 students, Friday, August 8th at 7:40 a.m. Meet teachers and principals, Williston Elko Middle School, Williston Elko High School, Kelly Edwards Elementary School. Together, everyone achieves more for WE. Our schools are something to smile about. The more the school, the family, and the community are joined as partners in the cause of educating young people, the greater each child's chance for success. Welcome them to school. Just as you go on a vacation with high expectations, students come to school with high expectations also. They come to get an education, meet friends, participate, have fun, study, and learn. Their entire day revolves around school and their friends. It is an exciting time in their lives. Therefore, the personnel of the school should extend greetings to the students before they come to school and upon their arrival. Everyone should be involved in planning the students' welcome to the school. Everyone means administrators, teachers, classified staff, district personnel, parents, and the business community. The successful education of young people is an interrelated community team effort. How to welcome them to school? Organize a first day of school celebration. Stand at the bus stop and welcome them on the first day of school. Wave and smile like it's Aunt Mabel, whom you have not seen in 14 years, and her airplane has just pulled up to the jet bridge. Stand at the front entrances of the school. Have at least one greeter at every entrance so no one will fail to receive a warm, friendly welcome. Bring out the school band to play at the curb or near the entrance. If you don't have a band, have a group of students and teachers assembled to bring a welcome smile on the first day of school. Hang up a banner welcoming students to school. Distribute a school newspaper extolling the virtues of the school and the wonderful school spirit of the teachers and the students. Have guides in the hall. Hang up directional signs to help students get to their classrooms. Have your name and room number clearly visible on the classroom door, along with your personal greeting of welcome. Let the first message spoken over the public address system be one of welcome and positive expectations for the school year. We must teach and show our students, one, that we can be responsible for one another, two, that school is a place to gain knowledge, three, that school is a place to give and receive love, four, that school is a place to become successful. School is not a place where students come to listen to lectures, fill in worksheets, and endure boredom. Nor is it a place reserved for those who can tolerate the drab and dirty look of many schools. School is a concept wherein students are welcome to learn and enhance the quality of their lives without fear of intimidation or harm, guided by hospitable and caring people in a clean and orderly environment. School is not a place. School is a concept. Schools should be built better and kept up better than banks, because there's more wealth in them. Martin Haberman. You will all succeed. You will think that I am in love with Japanese education. I'm not, but here is an anecdote that illustrates my point. When our daughter took our granddaughter to her first day of kindergarten in Japan, she walked in casually dressed, as we might do in the United States, thinking she would drop the child off and go home. Well, not at all. First, she discovered that all of the other parents were dressed up in their finest for a full day of ceremonies in celebration of the first day of school. They were in the room with the children, and there were speakers on the platform with a big banner that said, "Welcome to kindergarten. You will all succeed." Ernest L. Boyer, On Parents, School, and the Workplace, Fall 1988, Kappa Delta Pi Record, page 8. Houghton High School welcomes you. A week before school begins, Houghton High School in Louisiana welcomes incoming freshmen. Buses are provided for those who need a ride for the half-day program. The incoming freshmen gather in the auditorium. They are taught the school song and the Buccaneer spirit cheer. Teachers, nurses, bus drivers, and cafeteria workers are all introduced. Messages of welcome and high expectation flow. They are given their schedules, shown their lockers, the cafeteria, the gym, the media center, and their classrooms. No one needs to worry or be mocked on the first day of school because they now know the school. The students rotate through success groups where they are taught how to get off to a good start and given tips on staying out of trouble. They meet their counselor and can plan for their success. This is how they are welcomed to a school that cares that they succeed. Go Be! First Day of School Celebrations. Resources for creating a first day of school celebration at your school can be found in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 7 at EffectiveTeaching.com. There is no greater gift one human being can give another than the opportunity to learn and grow in a loving and nurturing learning environment. The effective teacher, 1, helps organize a first day of school celebration. 2, plans a classroom welcome for the first day. 3, ensures the mental and physical well-being of all students. 4, creates an environment for all students to succeed. 8. How to dress for success. The key idea: the effective teacher dresses appropriately as a professional educator to model success. Dress perception. As you are dressed, so shall you be perceived, and as you are perceived, so shall you be treated. Always dress better than your students. If you do not care about yourself, why should the students care about you? You are treated as you are dressed. You do not get a second chance to make a first impression. Interviewers tell us they make an initial judgment on an interviewee in 20 seconds. Salespeople know they have 7 seconds to make an impression. Effective teachers know that the clothes they wear and the smile that dresses their face are the first things students see when they are greeted at the door. Make no mistake, we judge others by their dress, and they judge us, too. It may not be fair, it may not be right, but people tend to treat other people as they are dressed. It's common sense. You will be treated as you are dressed. A salesperson sees 2 shoppers approaching, one appropriately dressed and the other inappropriately dressed. You know very well who will get immediate and better service. How much credibility would a bank have if the teller who processes your paycheck was dressed in jeans and wore a t-shirt emblazoned with the slogan, "Poverty sucks"? In an ideal world, it would be wonderful to be accepted for ourselves alone, not for our appearance. In the real world, however, our all-too-visible selves are under constant scrutiny. The fact is, most people think that the cover is the book, the box front is the serial, and the leather jacket is the person. We all make judgments. We look at someone and judge status, income, even occupation. It is not what is, but what is perceived that counts. You are a walking, talking advertisement. This may be a superficial world, but it is the way the world works, so saying that something is superficial will not make it go away. You are much better off making your dress work for you than allowing it to work against you. Give an elementary student 3 days, and the student will mirror you. Give a high school student 10 days, and the student will mirror you. Charles Galloway. Teachers are happier and better equipped to deal with challenges today. The proportion of teachers who are very satisfied with their careers increased from 40% in 1984 to 62% in 2008. More teachers today, 66%, feel respected by society than in 1984, 47%. 66% of teachers believe they earn a decent salary, almost double the number of teachers who believed that in 1984. Far more teachers today, 75%, report that they would advise a young person to pursue a career in teaching, 45% in 1984. Two-thirds, 67% of teachers, agree that the training teachers receive today does a good job of preparing them for the classroom, compared to 46% of teachers in 1984. 44% rate the availability of teaching materials and supplies as excellent, compared to 22% of teachers in 1984. Teachers feel better equipped to address important challenges to student learning, poverty, problems speaking and understanding English, lack of parental support, and poor health. Statistics compiled from the MetLife Survey of the American Teacher, Past, Present, and Future. A survey of teachers, principals, and students, reported October 2008. Yes, ties take time to tie, and sometimes get uncomfortable. However, a tie tells everyone you meet, I respect you, my job, and myself, and I'm willing to take the time to show it. The key is looking professional, not just looking good. The advantage of looking professional is that it keeps you from self-destructing in the first few seconds before your students make any hasty judgments about you. The effective teacher dresses appropriately as a professional educator to model success. The important word is appropriately. One of the reasons we have schools is for students to learn what is appropriate. Young people learn what is appropriate in society by looking at their adult role models. Your dress, your actions, and your words are what young people will take to be appropriate. By the end of the first or second week, the entire class will have taken signals from you as to how they should behave for the rest of the school year. We are walking, talking advertisements for who we are. We are walking, talking advertisements for who we believe we are as professional educators. When you walk into class late, you have just made a statement. When you walk into class late with a can of soda or a cup of coffee in your hand and a scowl on your face, you are making a statement. When you walk into class early, when you're standing at the door with a smile and an extended hand of welcome, the assignments are on the chalkboard, the room and materials are ready, and there is a positive classroom climate, you are making a statement. When you allow teasing in class, you are making a statement. When you refuse to tolerate teasing in class, you are making a statement. The statement that you make influences how the students will behave and achieve in class. And how students behave and achieve in class will determine your success as a teacher. The experts tell us that teenagers get their values from their friends. That's true to the extent that there is a values vacuum to be filled. It is imperative that the parents get there first. New teachers get their values from other teachers. It is imperative that there exists a school or district induction program coupled with a coaching program staffed by dedicated, professional, role model teachers to influence new teachers. Every time you act, you validate who you are. Even as a substitute teacher. My daughter, who just started a school counselor's job in a Phoenix school, agrees with me that we can win the kids over with our appearance. She said, I dressed very nicely as a substitute teacher. The kids held the door for me, one on each side. That's pretty scary and wonderful that they are influenced so easily by appearance. As shared with Harry Wong. Dress for respect. Clothing may not make a person, but it can be a contributing factor in unmaking a person. Whether we want to admit it or not, our appearance affects how we are perceived and received in definite ways. Clothing has nothing to do with students liking a teacher. But clothing definitely has an effect on students' respect for a teacher, and respect is what a teacher must have if learning is to take place. Research reveals that the clothing worn by teachers affects the work, attitude, and discipline of students. You dress for four main effects. 1. Respect. 2. Credibility. 3. Acceptance. 4. Authority. The effective teacher uses these four traits as assets in relating to students, peers, administrators, parents, and the community. If you have these four traits, you have a much greater chance of influencing young people to learn than someone who lacks these four traits. You can be sure that students notice how their teachers are dressed in the same way they notice the appropriateness of their own and each other's dress. Kids see their parents go to work each day dressed in business attire or institutional uniforms. Then they come to school and observe the attire of teachers, professionals who are considered middle-class intellectuals with college degrees, competent people with teaching credentials. You can see why the teaching profession has a difficult time gaining respect and credibility. You can also see why some teachers have great difficulty reaching and influencing students, and if teachers cannot reach students, no teaching or learning will take place. Not only are these teachers unable to reach students, but they also leave school at the end of the day frustrated over their own inadequacies. These inadequacies are evident in how they dress. For when you select your clothes each day, you are making a statement about yourself to the world. Make no mistake about reality. Teachers have a responsibility to encourage learning, and learning begins by gaining and keeping the respect of students. Your respect begins with your appearance. Could not believe what I saw. After Christmas vacation, one of my students left some pictures of the class holiday party on my desk. I took a look at myself, and I could not believe how I looked. I looked like I didn't care about myself. The next day, I came to school more appropriately dressed, and they all noticed and commented on how nice I looked. I was so happy, and they made me feel so good. I now spend more time caring about who I am. The students care about me. I am proud of who I am. And they are also so much better behaved now as a result of who I represent. Fifth grade teacher, Iowa. What's out? Tennis shoes are for sports and exercise. Sweatshirts and sweatsuits are best left for the gym. T-shirts and see-through shirts lessen being taken seriously. Miniskirts, low-rise pants, and low-cut shirts aren't for the classroom. Flip-flops are for vacations and lounging. Trendy clothes do not establish authority and should be left to students. Save blue jeans for after school or weekends. Excessive jewelry or excessive fragrance is distracting. What's in? Bright colors are enjoyed by elementary students. Soft, muted tones are recommended for secondary school. Men can't miss with a tie on a collared shirt. A career dress or skirt, pants, and blouse are appropriate for women. Clean clothes convey good hygiene. Pressed clothes tell people you care. Neat, cleanly tailored clothes establish confidence. Career clothes prepare students for a future in the competitive, global world economy. You dress where you want to be. Dorutha Richardson, a business education teacher at Muskogee High School in Oklahoma, was about to embark on a class project about perceptions and professional image. On the first day of the project, she came to class dressed in the most negative manner she could conjure up. She wore an old, ill-fitting jacket over a long, fishtailed dress and wore tennis shoes with flannel socks over her stockings. She slicked her hair back, wore no makeup, and even faked a missing tooth effect. She was amazed at what happened in the classroom. She lost all control of the class, could not get the students' attention, and endured 15 minutes of pure classroom chaos. She had to leave the classroom and return dressed in a professional manner before she could restore order in the classroom. Her students, who soon will be entering the job force, experienced firsthand the importance of appropriate dress for any occasion. Dress is the silent language that will make or break her students in their professional careers. Projecting Professional Images, March 2007. www.kodak.com/global/en/consumer/education/lesson-plans/lesson-plan018.shtml.
Go Be. Dress for Success. The research on appropriate dress for professionals is found in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 8 at effectiveteaching.com.
If you are appropriately dressed, students will comment when you look nice, and if something is out of place, they will tell you because they know that you are a person who cares about yourself. But if you constantly come to school inappropriately dressed, they will not say a word, because they surmise that if you do not care about yourself, they need not care about you. Dress appropriately, because it is very important to know that people care about you. When people care about you, they will respect you, learn from you, and buy from you. And as a professional educator, you are selling your students knowledge and success for the future. Preparing students for the world. What does it mean to dress appropriately? You expect your students to use appropriate English, write papers using an appropriate form, and display appropriate behavior and manners, right? Then you understand about appropriate dress. It is universally agreed that one major function of schools is to prepare young people for tomorrow's world. Yes, the world, not a particular city, state, or country. We live in a competitive, global world economy where people work for companies that are international in scope. It is likely that many of your students will work for a company that will have offices all over the world. If you want to succeed in the world, you must think globally. If we are to prepare students for tomorrow's world, we need to know the world. If you do not know the world, take some time to do some research. Stand at a major airport and watch passengers disembark from American Airlines, Lufthansa, and Singapore Airlines. Then go to the business district of a large city and observe the dress of the people, the executives, store owners, salespeople, and support service people. And speaking of support people, have you ever noticed that the school secretary almost always comes to school more appropriately dressed than a lot of the teachers? That she call in sick someday, we all live in fear. We would have to cancel school if the secretary wasn't here. Dave Arnold, head custodian, Brownstone Elementary School, Illinois. Having observed the world, after you have dressed in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror before you go to school to face your students, all of whom will see you as a model of success in tomorrow's thriving world. Ask yourself these three questions. 1. Would a real estate agency hire you dressed as you are? 2. Would McDonald's allow you to hand food to a customer dressed as you are? 3. Would you have confidence sending your loving child, grandchild, godchild, niece, or nephew to school to be taught by a teacher dressed as you are? Even criminals have a clear sense of the nonverbal messages people give out. In an eye-opening experiment, groups of convicted muggers were shown videos of people walking along the street. Overwhelmingly, the muggers picked people who walked slowly, with stooped shoulders, who looked helpless, disheveled, and downtrodden. They rejected people who walked erect, purposefully, and confidently. These latter people conveyed the message that they were in control of their lives. Your dress announces to the world whether you care or do not care about yourself. The entire public can read this message. As a teacher, which of the two statements do you make? 1. I am one of a group of poor, underpaid, slovenly, dour, and unappreciated people. too, I am one of a group of professional, proud, devoted, dedicated, responsible, and appreciated people. Dress your mind. This message is also conveyed to your students at your school, as well as to the administration and your colleagues, many of whom find the very casual dress of many educators totally unacceptable. People in sales, management, and leadership training will all tell you the same thing. By how you behave, you convey to the world a message of who you are and what you expect of life. The effective teacher, 1, comes to work appropriately dressed. 2, comes to teach dressed for success. 3, is a role model for students. 4, thinks and acts globally. 9. How to invite students to learn. The key idea. There must be people, places, policies, procedures, and programs working together to invite people to realize their fullest potential. Invitational education. Effective teachers have the power and the ability to invite students and colleagues to learn together each day in every class. The parents of 25 out of 30 students came to Back to School Night. Cindy Wong, a teacher in San Jose, California, sent an invitation home with each of her students. She also had her students copy a letter and leave it on their desks, along with a paper crane and a personal letter for their parents. They were so excited to tell their parents about a special surprise awaiting them. Some parents explained that their children said they just had to come to get their presents. This resulted in 25 out of 30 students being represented at Back to School Night. Dear parents, welcome to your child's classroom. What happens in this classroom will affect your child's future. Your child's time here will be well spent. He or she may even come home exhausted from all the thinking done during the day. But I will make every minute count. We have a fantastic group of children in this class. I am looking forward to a terrific year ahead. With your help, we can make it happen. Sincerely, Mrs. Wong. Dear Mom, thank you for caring about me and taking the time to come and learn about my class. We have been learning about a young girl named Sadako who bravely fought leukemia. She believed in good luck signs. The crane was one sign, a symbol of peace and dreams come true. Here is a crane I made especially for you. With it, I wish you love, peace, and everlasting happiness. I love you. Love, Emilio. Cindy Wong then asked each parent to write a note to his or her child and leave it on the desk. The students couldn't wait to come to school the next day to find their surprises on their desks. What an invitation! Why was I not invited? It upsets me to this day. When I was in junior high school, I had straight A's and was in the honors class. One day, the teacher went around the class and gave invitations to several students, but not me. They were asked to join the National Honor Society. To this day, I am still puzzled and disappointed that I was not invited. Rosemary Trippy Wong. No one has yet fully realized the wealth of sympathy, kindness, and generosity hidden in the soul of a child. The effort of every true educator should be to unlock that treasure. Emma Goldman. The basis of being inviting. The basis of being inviting is building relationships. The effective teacher builds relationships with parents. Invite parents to be partners in unleashing the potential of their children. Refer back to Chapter 7 to see how schools invite parents and children to school before the first day of school. The effective teacher is deliberately inviting. We all like to be invited to go shopping, to attend a party, to join a group. Most of us have the common courtesy to greet people.